Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, why did God send the prophet Elijah to the widow of Zarephath? At a practical level, we know the Lord's purpose in sending him there. It was a time of drought and famine, and the Lord told Elijah he was sending him to a widow in the small town of Zarephath so that she could feed him. So we know that the immediate purpose in Elijah going to Zarephath was so he could be fed during this time of famine. But the question remains, why did the Lord choose to provide for Elijah in that particular way? After all, we know that the Lord could have fed Elijah more directly through divine intervention. And in fact, there were times when the Lord did exactly that. Just before this, God had used ravens as his servants to bring food to Elijah each day. And later in Elijah's life, when he was especially weary, we read that the Lord twice sent an angel to give bread and water to Elijah to strengthen and refresh him. So why in this case would the Lord choose to work more indirectly, sending Elijah to a person who could feed him? And when we consider the person God sent him to, that raises another question, because we soon learn that the woman God sent Elijah to did not seem to have the resources to feed him. When Elijah arrived, she explained that she had only enough flour and oil to make one last small meal for herself and her son, and she was fully expecting that they then would starve. She was only able to end up providing food for Elijah and for herself and her son because the Lord miraculously replenished the flour in her jar and the oil in her jug each day for as long as the famine lasted. So if God was going to send Elijah to a person who would then feed him, why choose a woman who was down to her last handful of flour? Well, we can't say for sure all the reasons that God had in mind for choosing to provide for Elijah in this particular way. But when we pause to consider what we can learn from seeing God choose to work in this way, then we can see that there are, in fact, some rich and relevant lessons for us here. First, what can we learn from seeing that God chose to use another person to feed Elijah rather than, say, using ravens or an angel as he did at other times? Well, here we are being given a picture and reminder of how God ordinarily chooses to provide for us. A reminder that God delights in working through us to care for one another. That is part of his design for humanity. Our interdependence, the mutual help that we give and that we receive. God does give us each day our daily bread, and he can do that directly, as he sometimes did for Elijah, and as he did for the Israelites when he fed them with manna, bread from heaven, throughout the Exodus. But he ordinarily provides our food indirectly. And more specifically, he ordinarily provides our food by working through other people. From the farmers who plant, to the workers who harvest, to the millers who prepare the flour, to the truck drivers who deliver the flour, to person after person, often ending up with a parent or spouse, prepares and serves a meal. In all these ways, God is working in us and through us to provide for and care for one another. That is his design for humanity. And the same thing is true of many other ways that God cares for us in addition to providing our daily bread. To offer another example, any healing that we receive in this life does ultimately come from the Lord. And he can do that directly, as he sometimes has and sometimes does. But he ordinarily provides healing or relief indirectly, working through people, people like doctors, nurses, therapists, pharmacists, family caregivers, and many others. In a similar way, the Lord is our protector. He is our shield and our defender. And sometimes he does protect us by his direct divine intervention or by using his angels to guard and protect us. But to a very large degree, he protects us through the people that he provides around us, people whom he has equipped and gifted for such responsibility and service. That includes people like firefighters and police officers. And on this Veterans Day, we especially give thanks for those who have served in the military to help protect us and our freedom. Reflecting on how God works through us to provide for and care for one another, Martin Luther once said, "All our work in the field, in the garden, in the city, in the home, in government, what is all this but the means by which God is pleased to give his gifts in the field, at home, and everywhere? These are the masks of the Lord our God, behind which he is hidden, but is doing all things." Here, Luther's point is that when we serve our neighbors, even in what might seem like small ways to us, we can actually be thought of as, in his words, the masks of God. Because while people might look and see us doing the work, unseen to them, it is actually God who is working in us and through us to do the work and to care for all of us. And that brings us back to another question that I brought up a minute ago. When God chose to use another person to feed Elijah during the time of famine, why would he choose a woman who was down to her last handful of flour, who would only be able to feed Elijah as long as God miraculously replenished her flour and oil each day? What can we learn from seeing God choose to work in that way? In this, we have a valuable reminder that while God does use us to provide for and care for each other, it is always, ultimately, the Lord himself who is the one truly providing for us and caring for us. Now, we might know intellectually that that is true, but it also can be easy to forget. We see someone prepare us a meal, and we rightly appreciate what they have done for us. The surgery is successful, and we rightly appreciate the doctor's work. The men and women of our nation's military help keep us safe, and it is absolutely right that we thank them and their families for their dedicated service and sacrifices they've made. But it can be easy to forget that each of those people is a gift from God to us, and that even as we rightly thank them, we should also thank God for them and for what he has done through them and the ways that he has blessed us through them. In the case of the widow of Zarephath, we see that so clearly as we see her reliance on God's miraculous provision of flour and oil each day. But what we see so clearly happening there is just as true even when we don't see it so clearly. As we read in the first chapter of James, and as the choir sang this morning, every good gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And that is true even when all we see with our eyes is the people whom God is using to deliver his gifts to us. So when we see how God was working through the widow of Zarephath to care for Elijah, let that be a reminder to us of how God is working unseen through so many people to care for us each day. So in today's Old Testament reading, we have an important reminder that God ordinarily chooses to work through us to care for one another, and that it really is God himself who is actually doing that work through us. In our epistle reading, though, we are given the even more important reminder that God's greatest work for us is one that we had no part in at all, because it is something that only he could do and that he alone did do with no contribution from us. There are many ways that God can and does work through us each day in service to one another. But there is one thing that we cannot do for each other. In the words of Psalm 49, no man can redeem the life of another. No matter how much we might want to help another person, we cannot be their savior. We cannot save them from their sins because we have our own sins that we need to be saved from. We stand in just as much need of a savior as they do. In our reading from Hebrews, it's pointed out that that was true even of a high priest, who many people would have thought of as being especially holy, but who, we are told, also needed to have atonement made for his own sins. And so what none of us could do for ourselves or for each other, our Lord graciously did for us. He came to be our Savior. He came and redeemed us. And how did he do that? As we heard in our epistle, he appeared once for all to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Having no sins of his own, Christ offered himself up on the cross as the atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. Now, we've seen how God ordinarily chooses to work through mankind in order to care for mankind. Here we see that even when it came to something that none of us could do, God actually did still choose to work through man. But in this case, he did that by becoming man himself, joining us in our humanity in order to die for all humanity, to save humanity. What more could he possibly do to show his love for all mankind? What more could he do to show his love for us? Well, in fact, he does do still more, as he now sends the good news of redemption out to the world, bringing salvation to people of every nation. And how exactly does he go about doing that? Once again, he chooses to work through us, his people, using us as his instruments, spreading his blessings throughout creation. But once again, even as he does work through us, we need to remember that it is always the Lord himself is who is truly doing the work through the power of his saving word. And so for all of this, for giving us each day our daily bread and graciously providing for all our needs, for the people through whom he has cared for us and blessed us throughout our lives, for the opportunities that he gives us to share his love with the people around us, and above all, for his blood-bought gift of redemption. All glory, honor, and praise be to our great God and Savior, here and in every place, now and forevermore. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.